Welcome to EduChats, and in this edition I'm chatting with Adrian Brook, Department Coordinator Animation and Design at SAE Creative Media Institute in Melbourne. Adrian has recently become an Adobe Education Leader, which is very exciting for our community because he brings a wealth of experience as an educator in both K-12 and higher ed, but also in the media industry. So Adrian, welcome to this EduChat and tell us about your career journey so far.
Well, thanks for welcoming me. My career journey was really not a straight line. It was a meandering, I'm not too sure what I'm going to do with my life, but I'm enjoying these things or what happens with it next sort of thing. I started out, I guess, I liked reading and I wanted to write. I dropped out of arts to write, and I did poetry. And then my best friend, who was at Swinburne Film School, said, "People don't read, they see films." So I applied to get into Swinburne Film School, which was quite difficult at the time, but I got in. And in the process of learning to make films, I realized the best things about my films were not the scripts, but the storyboards, and that I was a cartoonist. And so I learned conventional filmmaking and also dabbled in sorts of animation. I followed that through my final year. John Bird, who ran the animation department, went away and said, "Look, I'll show you how to load a camera. You can play." And so I had a major project of playing. I think I was the first student in Swinburne's history to make a film with under the budget that they gave us. And I thought maybe I'd get a refund and they'd give me the money back, but it didn't happen that way. And then from there, it was like, well, what do I do? And I worked for a little while in the art department because I like props and sets and costumes and playing with toys and things like that. Then I got offered a scholarship to go to the States to a school that had been set up by the Disney Brothers, California Institute of the Arts, to do animation. So I did my major there, a master's in animation there, and really everything that was non-Disney, because Disney was not exciting for me at that stage. They were very conventional, and I wanted to learn how Europeans would do things. Also, anyway, in the process of doing that, I found myself working with dancers and musicians and actors, and conventional filmmakers and graphic designers, and I really liked that mixture of things. When I was at Swinburne, there was a very good, very strong graphic design department, so that was fun. I came back to Australia in the early 80s, and I struggled. I floundered. Nobody was doing anything in animation like I was doing, which was very Terry Gilliam, Monty Python sort of cutouts and manipulation and object pixelation, etc. But my girlfriend at the time, who later on became my wife, was a primary school teacher, and I had been supporting myself by working with children's holiday programs and also adult education, doing cartooning classes and stuff. She said, go back and get some qualifications. So I went and did Hawthorne Institute of Education and got a graduate diploma in education. So I found myself at Preston East Tech, teaching, which now became Northland Secondary, teaching art and craft and media. And it was fun. What was interesting about it was they said, "Look, you need to think about how you respond to the students. We've got a curriculum you've got to sort of follow because it's Department of Education, but at the same time, these students are going to be demanding, and you're going to be, if you can't respond to them and show the relevance." So that was interesting. And so we did things together with the drama department, which we went on tour and did things, and it was really exciting. But my first year there, which was 1985, the English department bought a Macintosh, and I started playing with that. And I think that's really important. You know, we talk about injecting creativity in education. I think what's most exciting about creative people is that they're not afraid to play. And it's that sense of play and fun and joy that you actually spend more time doing things, but you also discover things that you'd not thought would happen. And maybe the program wasn't designed to do that or whatever else. So that was sort of it. So then I found myself at Preston East Tech, and then I found myself working with the Department of School Education on the frameworks, which was a rewriting of curriculum for P-12 or became P-10 in the media, and I really enjoyed that stuff. Then within 4 years, I had I my skills with using computers and publishing, digital publishing and print stuff had got to the stage where I was approached to leave. So I left being a teacher to work teaching people how to use Ventura Publisher, and then eventually I worked for a company that had been set up by Apple, the Express Group, to do advertising agencies and print houses and graphic designers. And I really enjoyed being a training person. I trained these. I felt it was a bit like a minstrel in a way, you know. Not that I'm musical, but when I would meet these people, they'd say, "Look, I'm." And this was a time where Illustrator 88 had come out, and we were playing with Barneyscan XP, which became Photoshop 1.0. And so everyone is really excited, exploring the tools, saying, "Oh, look, I've done this. How about that?" And as a training person going to all these different organizations, I found myself actually learning from people and passing on those skills. So I was working as that, and then I got involved in designing floppy disk interactives using Macromedia Director and other things. I found myself working at one stage. Well, the Express Group was really quite exciting because they got bought out by ShowAds, who are the largest print pre-press company in the country, and I got in charge of R&D for multimedia. I got to make interactive touchscreen stuff, and I got to play with things. Then I found myself working for other companies. I ended up in Telstra's Research Labs for a while as a graphic, as an interactive designer, working on what would video on demand be. So we did it via a telephone line, the ADSL. People got to actually watch video on demand. Then they said, "Well, we own the internet. What can we do with it?" And we've formed a partnership with Fox called Foxtel. So can we do anything about delivering cable? We're hearing cable internet is going to happen. This is the middle 90s. And so I got involved with a team of engineers and creatives, and we produced the Australia's first broadband network, and that was fun. We used Future Splash Animator, which became Flash eventually, as a tool to be able to show things. It was very much about Java, and that was fun. And then I got approached by RMIT to set up an incubator, and I got the chance to work with academics and students and industry to work on a variety of projects. They had virtual reality, there were games, it was the whole spectrum, and I really enjoyed. I found that my skills were working with people and teams and putting people together to make things happen. But if you work at a university and you're not an academic, you don't have as much fun. You don't get the leave of the semester off to create stuff. Your 4 weeks leave, that's it. So then it was like, well, what's the next step? And I came to Deakin as a lecturer in animation. I spent 10 years there, which was good. I had tenure. I got involved with projects and education and refining. And in the process, they said, well, actually, you know, it's not enough to be skilled in your area, you need to also be skilled in education. And I had to go back and get a graduate diploma in education for higher education, which was good. I think it's really important at times that we learn how to learn. It's always a continual thing because software is changing and people are changing, the technology is changing. So I did that. And then after a while, I came here. It was very different. It was very much not an academic, let's publish research. This is about everyone here has been a professional in the creative industry, whatever form it is. And so now it's the challenge of, well, how do you take those skills and put it into an education form? And we've been very lucky that when COVID happened and we had to go online, we could instantly embrace it. And so we went online. And it's difficult for some people to work remotely. It's a skill we have to learn in the 21st century. And if we've not met physically yet, but we've chatted quite a bit by these screens. So that's it's a challenge for us. It's never going to go away. We're going to have to work remotely and with teams from wherever they are across time zones. So the more skills we put in place to do that.
Wow.
So that was my meandering journey.
Yeah.
Not intended to be, but it's one follows what things happen.
Well, when I said you had a wealth of experience, I wasn't kidding. That's amazing. You've been at the pioneering edge of so many of the technologies that
we used to
today.
Call it the bleeding edge.
Okay.
No one knew what was going on and where to go, you know. And sometimes it's quite funny, but I'll give you an example of how people's perceptions are distorted by what they know, because we only can build from what we know. I was in LA at a conference in maybe 1990, and Andy Grove, who was the CEO of Intel, who make microchips and processors, was showing off. The Pentium hadn't come out yet, so it's quite a while away. He was showing off postage size, small video streaming that he was doing with conferencing. And this was at a Hollywood film convention. And every one of these filmmakers was going, it's not full motion video. This is no good to us. This is no good. And he said, look, you people have got the wrong understanding. I spend hundreds of thousands, nearly millions of dollars a year telling my people they've got to travel from one place to another. And it's so exhausting. If they can have a video conference, it doesn't matter how small it is, it's going to be far more efficient. It's going to relieve them of times wasted and stress, etc. And now that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, we're at home or I'm in the office today, but we can work anywhere with the tools. And I think that's one of the great things about Adobe is that they're saying, okay, we're not platform dependent. We're not operating system dependent.
Yeah, that's so important. So tell us about SAE and the work that they do around Australia.
So SAE started about 40 years ago as a school of audio engineering, and our sound departments are excellent. And in fact, when we make films, the sound in our films is better than most other film schools, which is a byproduct of that. It started off as being a place where people could get practical, almost like vocational skills in an environment which was conducive to that. And we've expanded. So now at SAE here in Melbourne, we do animation, design, audio, film, and games. And all of those departments, we're all in an open area space, safe distance now, but we have conversations and it's a really interesting space for that. And our students are either hands-on or they're theory and practicing to do that. So we're very intense. We do a bachelor degree in 2 years rather than 3 years. It's very much based around what are your skills, how are you going to build it, how are you going to actually either answer ads for work or find work and build those communities. We do a lot of design. We use, you know, the core Illustrator, Photoshop, InDesign, Acrobat sort of tools to build things in place. We don't do as much with animation at this stage because Adobe Animate is sort of on the way out in terms of efficiency. We do more 3D and some other sort of 2Ds. I'd like us to do more with Character Animator. I think that's a really fun thing to do. In fact, I found something funny that strange. I mean, I thought when I used Character Animator that it was going to be based around the video. It was going to watch my mouth and move around. And I actually was recording a session and my wife walked in and started talking. And all of a sudden, the character that I'd created was responding to her voice without seeing her. I thought, well, this is really interesting. So I made a birthday card for her, which had her voice and then me and so we're exciting in that way. We're national, so students can swap places if they have to work. In fact, we had a student who 2 days ago had to pack up and go back to Byron Bay within 3 hours because Victoria's closing down its borders. Well, no one wants Victorians anymore. So, and she's able to continue her work because we're remotely and we're global. Well, actually, we're global, but SAE in Australia is each of the states and also Dubai.
Yeah, I've been into your Melbourne office and it's very impressive. And I had a tour around all your studios and the facilities are amazing and very impressed with the quality of the work that comes out.
Yeah, you want, I think what's interesting for us is that part of it is digital. We must embrace the digital side of things, but we shouldn't forget that part of the world is analog. And there's the metaphor, roll up your sleeves and get into the work, but I think you have to have you must use your hands in a variety of ways. So in terms of animation and design, students learn life drawing, and they actually have to draw with their hands. Mm. And these are skills that we learn. Some of us will never be very great at it, but that's not the point. These are when we're doing these sort of things, they encourage our mind to, you know, the Betty Edwards drawing on the right side of the brain sort of thing was about, well, if you're actually making notes and you're writing things down, it's another way of remembering things too.
So, Adrian, are you still making films?
I did. I tended to use the filmmaking skills mainly for research and pushing things. So 2 weeks ago, I had to make one of my friends is a lawyer by day and a musician by night. And he wrote a great song about the boy next door. It's on YouTube. You can look it up if you want to. He said, well, can we video it? So I brought in Premiere Pro and videoed him multiple takes and then synced it up with his soundtrack, and we had a video. It was, you know, obviously there's some scanned photos brought into Photoshop, but it was tools that allowed us to do it at home or wherever we are, which is amazing. You know,
yeah, that raises an interesting question. The Creative Cloud set of tools is now available in every Victorian secondary school that's run by the department, and pretty much most Catholic and independent schools now.
Yeah.
How do you see that as an opportunity for young people while they're still thinking about who they are and where they're at experience those apps?
Yes, they are great. At the moment, we have... licenses, we've got to get them renewed for the higher education so that students can work from home. But the Creative Cloud is really exciting in that, I come from the old school where we, you know, at one stage we used what we called SneakerNet. We would take floppy disks and bring them from one computer to another because it was quicker than the network.
Yeah.
But now, increasingly everything is on the cloud as a great form of backup. But what's so exciting about it, and I experienced this yesterday, I had a student that had submitted some work. We encouraged them to submit work as PDFs as a way that we can make annotation on it, etc. And then as I'm about to send it off, Creative Cloud says, would you like to post that in the cloud? And I went, oh, okay, figuring experiment, let's see what happens. And all of a sudden I get an email from saying, this is there if you'd like to read it. And so this document is sitting in a central space where everybody can access it, and no one is owning the copy, so that if they make changes, they've got to remember to send it to each other, and we don't get... Well, that was fantastic. It was really exciting for me to discover something. I mean, I like learning new things, obviously, but that cloud side of things is great.
Well, it's a great extension of the apps that have been around for many years and building up on them. So the concept of creativity, Adrian, it's become almost a buzzword in business now, and the World Economic Forum recently, well, in the last 10 years really, has been highly rating creativity as a skill to thrive for the future, and it's heading up to being almost in the top three. It's now currently in the third, but they're talking about it being the most important skill to thrive in all sorts of industries. You've been involved in creativity and the creativity industry for many years.
Yeah.
What's your take on that in terms of how kind of the business world is okay. using it now?
So if we look at the creative industries, they're actually, in terms of in Australia, generating income and employment between mining and manufacturing. That's significant. What's amazing about that, which we forget, and we're very much a sports culture environment, which says let's praise the sports person rather than the artist, and the artists are unfortunately neglected. But what's amazing about that is we don't have to send off manufacturing to a cheaper outsourcer to cheap locations. And with mining is a finite resource. There is no limit to creativity. It's not going to run out. And we're very lucky as Australians. We are quite creative, and we bring that, particularly when we're working with other countries, other cultures, which are very much about learn this, don't question. I'm the authority. And so creativity in education, to me, is like two sides to it. On the one hand, as an educator, I liken it to like surfing, and I'm not a surfer. I stood on the board once for a few meters, and then got dumped. But it's like, well, this wave is good and the next one might be better. Sometimes we have a teaching experience, and I've had that with me. I've had the same curriculum, same things I was going to cover, and I had it with one morning class and another class, a different group in the afternoon, and got totally different reactions. One worked, one didn't. And as educators, we all know sometimes it doesn't work. And creativity in education comes about, well, you know, I have experience, I've got resources, I can turn to people, I can find out, let me try again. And it's that willingness to try again that is really important for us as creative educators. The other side of creativity is this ability to improvise. I think it's really important that we recognize that creativity is not often inspiration. Inspiration is a small part of that, and we do get inspired, but it's usually because we've done our research or we've put ourselves into a space, place where we're receptive to it. And so this is where, and it's great because you're running these forums where people are actually getting a chance to talk to each other about things, and that sparks. We are about sparking each other with things, and you know, there are multiple ways to create a path around an object in Illustrator or Photoshop using the pen tool. So it's all of these things that come there. So I think it's one, recognizing that creative people, they're difficult also, because sometimes they want to herd. It's like herding cats. They don't necessarily go in a straight line. But you don't always want the straight line, because sometimes the alternate path offers opportunities that you hadn't thought about.
So, yeah, that's great. Yeah. Very wise. And thank you for plugging the Inject Creativity Wednesday night events too, as in that response. For those who don't know about that event, every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. via a range of social media channels, we connect together with teachers from literally all over the world. We've had a regular from Canada, haven't we, over the last few weeks, which has been lovely, and Fiji and the Philippines, and of course a lot of Australian teachers. It's been lovely to chat with you, Adrian, and to learn from you. A question that I do ask, I try to ask everyone, is what are your two favorite Adobe applications, if you can narrow it down?
Tim, I have three children. You can ask me which are my two favorite children out of that. Okay, so look, it varies. Obviously, as a senior citizen, I grew up with Illustrator and Photoshop. And they're sort of at the core of, and I use very, my skills are not very great in that. But I guess if I was to pick two now that I think are really interesting, and I use Acrobat a lot. I love Acrobat. In fact, I don't actually do any presentations using other software. I use Acrobat to do it, and I love it. And I'm discovering new things about it, particularly with the Creative Cloud. So Acrobat's probably one of my favorites. And then I think I really like the fun part about exploring what Character Animator is doing. I think that's going to be an interesting one, to be able to make avatars and to do things. And that's a good way of playing. And I think it's important that we do play. You know, you can play with toys. You can spend a lot of time watching television at the moment or watching movies. But I think that for us, getting our hands, the more skills we have with our tools, the more valuable we are as a resource.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And one of the things I do mention to students when I get the opportunity to speak at the Big Day In events is I say, in industry, we're looking for people who don't watch movies but make movies, who don't necessarily play games but make games, who don't necessarily watch the internet but create their own web pages. Yeah. They're the skills we're looking for. Yeah. And I guess to finish up, Adrian, is there some advice that you'd want to share to a teacher now who's in K-12 or in higher education working with young people, I guess particularly in this unprecedented world that we're living in? I wish I had a dollar every time I heard that word, unprecedented. But what sort of advice would you give to a teacher who's trying to prepare a young person now for a very changing world?
I think it would be open. The role has changed from being a teacher in the classroom where we're almost like a galley slave. We've got everybody rowing in desks facing the front, and they're saying, you know, this is the rhythm. Years ago, I was working in India with university educators, and they asked me an interesting question: how do you keep up with technology? How do you, you know? And I said, well, I don't in some ways, but I have a good network of people and I listen and do that. And I'm not afraid to ask my students, how would you do this? And they got really shocked. They said, no, we can't lose face. And I said, look, your role is not to be the master of everything, to know everything. We can go to this site and get this and this. Your role is to juggle them all. And as educators, I'd say, look, our role is to juggle these students that have got skills to try to get them to uncover what the skills are and to work with others to do it. So don't be afraid to say, this is how I would do it, but I don't know if it's the right way of doing it. How would you do it? And why is the way you're doing it better than this other person's way of doing it?
Great. So
was that advice?
Absolutely. Yeah, and great wisdom. Adrian, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you for being part of our Adobe Education Leadership community. We're really looking forward to getting to know you better over the years and getting you to share with our community of educators.
And I look forward to it.
Absolutely. And thanks again. We'll look forward to seeing you face to face in the near future, hopefully.
Thank you. Bye. Keep safe.
Thank you. Bye.